sermon today, I want you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 today. And I'm going to talk to you about something very important. And you know, after so many years, any pastor will tell you that it gets harder and harder to bring a fresh Christmas word to the congregation. You understand? Say yes. Just say yes. Thank you. And you know, and the reason is because it's so familiar to us. But I don't ever want the Word of God to be familiar. I want it to be fresh every day, living manna that nourishes me and nourishes you. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you about how to ruin Christmas. Say that with me. How to ruin Christmas. How many want to know how not to ruin Christmas? Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to learn that too this morning, but very important. You know, the problem that we have is that the world that we live in, this perverted land that we live in, it has so over the centuries perverted the true meaning of Christmas. You know that, and so do I. Amen? Now, I want to preface everything by saying that I'm not here to beat up anyone this morning. If you've decorated your house from top to bottom and you've got 15 jillion gingerbread cookies cooking, it's okay. And you know, if you have I know people have Christmas trees in every room, okay? They need counseling, but it's okay with me. But I'm not here, this is not about trying to say, why did you put up that pagan Christmas tree in your house, okay? That's not what it's about. If you want to see a pagan Christmas tree, go to the main lobby, you know? But this morning, this perversion, have you noticed how the devil is so subtle and he is so smooth? Yes. And how he is perverted or counterfeited two of our most celebrated seasons in the church, Easter and Christmas. You see what he's doing? I mean, what's more cuddly than a little bitty bunny rabbit? You know what I'm saying? And there was a little Easter egg hunts and all the, you know what I'm saying? Or you know what I'm getting at. Okay, so this morning we're going to talk about that. And not only that, I hope your heart stays open because, you know, the way I got the title for this sermon, believe it or not, is I was reading an article, I believe it was in the Washington Post, and it was entitled this, Why Christmas 2021 is Already Ruined. And I said, it is? I did not know that. So I was curious, what would any good pastor do? You would go and you'd read the article I did, and here, let me just give you a few of the things. Why Christmas, they say, is already ruined. Number one, it says supply chain problems are ruining Christmas, meaning toys and gifts and iPhones and iPads and insane things. You know what I'm saying? And so, as I read that, I went, oh my gosh, I didn't know that Christmas came from a department store. I didn't know that. I'm learning. You understand? Yeah, and not only that, here's the next one. Vaccine mandates, they said, are ruining Christmas. Well, I can't fly home. You know, I have to be vaccinated. Well, I didn't know that having or not having Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, you know, I didn't know that ruined Christmas. Did you? Well, no, will you have it or not? No. And here's the third one. I can't go through all of them because we'd be here forever and we'd really get ruined. Climate change is ruining Christmas. Here it comes. Christmas tree manufacturer warns of a supply shortage. I didn't know that a Christmas tree could ruin Christmas. Are you following me? Now, listen, the people who wrote those articles, Washington Post is not, you know, I think it was the Post. It could have been, it doesn't matter, does it? But the fact of the matter is, they were very, very sincere. And so I thought to myself, well, I guess Christmas 2021 is really ruined, you know? And then I thought to myself, well, you know what? Maybe I should ruin all of your Christmases too. So the way I'm going to do that is, I don't want to shock you this morning, but I want to tell you the truth about Santa. He ain't coming to town, all right? No, that's not going to happen. No, that's not going to happen at all, loved one. Listen, now, with all kidding aside, and that was a serious article, by the way, but with all kidding aside, listen, the world's holiday has nothing to do with the most important event in the history of mankind, and that is the birth of our Savior when God became man. Amen? That's why we celebrate. And that's what it's all about. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. Let me read it this way. The Word is Jesus. Amen? Yes. In the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Amen? John 1:14. And Jesus, the Word, became flesh. Man. And he dwelt, he tabernacled, he set his tent among us. The Bible tells us in Matthew 1:23, it says, behold, the virgin, he's quoting now from Isaiah 7:14 about the virgin birth. He says, and the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. I don't know why anyone celebrates Christmas, but I'm going to tell you what, I celebrate Christmas because my Savior was born. And not only that, he is with me and will never leave me and he will never forsake me. And one day I am going home and I'm going to be with him forever and ever. Amen. So with all that being said, turn in your Bible now and let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 5. Let me read to you. Luke, turn there with me. Let's look at the Bible together. Let me read. Luke chapter 1, verse 5 says this. It was a night before Christmas when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not. Oh, so that's the NIV version. Let's go to the real Bible here. Now, you know I'm teasing a lot today, okay? Okay, so don't send me an email. Don't ruin my Christmas. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, though that's the one who killed the babies, remember, or had them killed. And there was a certain priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous before God. In other words, that was their lifestyle. And how was it? Well, they walked in the commandments of God, the ordinances of God, and it says of the Lord, and they were blameless, meaning whenever they did blow it or get into sin, like we all do sometimes, unfortunately, they would the ordinance there means they offered a sacrifice unto God. Now, Zacharias and Elizabeth lived in one of the darkest periods of Judean history. And that was because from the time of Malachi to the book of the Gospel of Matthew, if you will, there were 400 years of silence. There was not one prophetic word that we have recorded that God spoke unto man. Amen? They were waiting, and like we are waiting for the Lord to come and take us out of here too. So with all that being said, in that dark time, you know, Rome, of course, ruled Judea, Jerusalem, and of course, wicked King Herod was there as a puppet king. But here's what you want to see this morning. Zacharias and Elizabeth, as we know these stories so well, they loved the Lord. They were faithful to the Lord and obedient to the Lord, but, the next verse, 7, but they had no child, and look at the reason, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So Elizabeth was unable to have a baby, and that was considered or looked upon in her culture in that day as a woman who was cursed by God. And so there they are. It says they were not just old. I love the Bible. It's very clear. How old were they? Well, they were well advanced in years. Now, that may be some of you this morning, okay? You may be well advanced in years. And here's what happens. When you are well advanced in years, like me, I'm not going to say it about Mario, a brand new name. God just, that's a prophetic word. Now I forgot. I'm in the season. I'm in the spirit, brother. Listen. Now listen, they were well advanced in years. And here's what happens when you become well advanced in years. You sometimes, I've already served the Lord. I've worked and served all my life, and I don't guess anything else is going to happen. That's a terrible place to be. Don't ever let age dictate what God is going to do in your life. Don't ever do that. He can work with the babies. He can work with teenagers. He can work with you. If you don't have any teeth and you can barely hear, do you understand? He can still do something through you. As long as you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Amen. So I look at that and here they are. They're not expecting anything to happen. They didn't know that God had a great plan for their life. And you know what? You don't either. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen in 2022. I pray that you're ready for that, because I put down in my notes, I said this, is the church spiritually ready to face 2022? I pray that you are. Verse 8, and so it was while Zacharias was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell. Now, meaning the priest in that day, there were so many, they would choose them by lot to serve in the temple, okay? Only for a season, not for every day, but just a season. And it says, and he was chosen, look what he was chosen to do. His job was going to be to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people, they were praying outside at the hour of incense. So they're outside praying. They're waiting for him to come out and give him the priestly blessing. And remember the incense, the altar of incense, it happened twice daily, 9 a.m., 3 p.m. And incense, remember, is that the altar of incense stood in the holy place. And it was, and right in front, or right here would be the temple, or the curtain, that is. And that behind the curtain would be the Ark of the Covenant, representing the presence of God. Amen? Amen. Now, that was forbidden to go into only one time a year, and that had to be by the high priest. So there in front was the altar of incense. Over to the right would be the golden candelabra thing and all that, the menorah. And he would take the incense and pour it on the coal, those hot coals, and it would rise in front of the Ark of the Covenant, which was behind the veil. Remember that incense represents the prayers of the people. And it was rising up to the Lord. It had a very sweet aroma to it. Now listen, this was for any priest in that day one of the greatest, or it was the epitome of one's life to do what he was doing. I mean, that was the greatest moment in his life. And all of a sudden, there is the sweet aroma. There's the smoke rising up into the Lord. Something happened. Look at the verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord, that's Gabriel, look what he did. He appeared to Zacharias standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled. Hello. Fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard." Now, what was he praying for? Yeah, good. Well, you guys are so well taught. Man, he was praying for a child. And your wife Elizabeth, who is barren, remember, it says, will bear you a what? A son, not a girl. Nothing wrong with girls, but a son. And you shall call his name God is gracious. Praise the Lord. Yes, God is gracious. That's what John means. Amen. Now, listen to me. Yesterday, as I prepared this message, very important what I'm about to tell you. I finished up, 4 o'clock or whatever it was yesterday, and I was getting ready to leave. And for some reason, as I had just put in I had all the scriptures that I had to send to the media people and all that, my computer just went blank. And I went, hello? So, I finally had to restart it, but it brought up my documents, my sermon, and it said, do you want to save this? And I said, hello, and I saved it. And I didn't think anything about it. And so this morning I got up like I always do around 4 o'clock to have my prayer time and to just go over and say, Lord, anything you want to change? And everything that I did was not there. So I went to work. And when I was trying to, remember the things that I felt like the Lord was giving me yesterday about these passages, when I came to this one area about what the angel said, I felt the Holy Spirit speak to my heart. something that, about this, what I'm about to say, he did not do yesterday. And as I wrote down, and this is what I said, the angel's first word was, do not be afraid. The second word from the angel is, your prayer is heard. And I felt in my heart, the Lord in my heart, this is a specific word for someone this morning. Because you are afraid. And that fear has torment. God says in his word, don't be afraid. And then he tells you something. Your prayer that you have been praying, it has been heard. And the Bible says, and we know if he hears our prayers, when we pray the will of God, we know we have the petitions that we ask of him. Amen. Let that word be to whomever it belongs in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, prayer is the work, and our prayers, they stay in heaven, loved one. They're not dead. They're alive right now. I've had prayers 5 years in the making, and nothing happens. And then God unexpectedly does something. You see, that's what happened in the life of Zacharias and Elizabeth. They weren't expecting one thing, but God was. Amen. I mean, listen, well, look what happened. He talks about this son called John that's going to be born. I mean, God even named him for them. They hadn't come up with a name. He says, and you, talking to Zacharias, you're going to have joy and you're going to have gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Why? Look at it. For he will be great in the sight of men. No, God. And he'll neither drink wine nor strong drink. In other words, he's going to take the vow of a Nazarite, okay? And he will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. I'm going to tell you something. Do you think Zacharias got that? Do you think he understood that? He was looking at this angel like, hello, what do you mean? Okay? And he will turn many of the children of Israel to their Lord, their God, and he will go before, meaning before the Lord Jesus. He's going to be the forerunner. He says, and look at how he's going to go, the power, in the spirit and power of Elijah. He didn't say he was Elijah. He said, in the spirit and power of Elijah, and the purpose to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Man, he was the forerunner. Don't you wish, Mom, Dad, that an angel of God would appear at your house and you're 9 months pregnant, or even before you are, and say, you're going to have a girl. Are you going to have a boy? And this is what he's going to be. Lay it all out. Would that be pretty cool? Oh, man, God would erase all the worry, wouldn't it? Yeah, man. You know, God sends teenagers to punish us. I know that's what he does. Yeah. Oh, listen. So it was a supernatural birth because he was the forerunner of Christ. He fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah, verse 40. Actually, verses 41 through 3, but I'll just read verse 3. It says, he is the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Remember what forerunners did? A forerunner would go before the king. And whatever that journey was, point A to point B, he would go and make sure that the highway, the byway, the roadway was clear of every obstacle. So it would be a perfect, nothing would hinder his trip. Well, John the Baptist wasn't clearing a highway, was he? He was doing this. He was clearing out the junk in people's hearts. He was preparing the people's hearts to meet the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? What a glorious thing. Do you know that no man in Scripture, no one in Scripture received such praise by Jesus than John the Baptist. Matthew 11:11, let me read it to you. He says here, Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, for he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Can you believe that? In that scripture that I just read for Matthew, up to that point, at that time, there had not arisen a greater man than John the Baptist. Not Moses, not Solomon, not David. Think about that. Man, John the Baptist, born to be the forerunner for Jesus Christ, born to baptize the Lord. Can you imagine that? I mean, to baptize the Lord. See, he's the one that John cried out. He says, I see, saw the spirit of like a dove descending upon him. Man, think about what God has done for that. He's great in the sight of the Lord. He didn't say he was going to be a great dresser. He didn't say he was going to have a great diet. I mean, you know, his dress was kind of wild, you know. You remember Sonny and Cher back then? You don't remember. He had on that, what is that, you know, that whatever it was, that camel hair and, you know, leather belt and I got you, babe. You remember that? Then his diet, you know, locust and honey. Think about that. Man, his head ended up on a platter, you know, remember? But here's the deal. Zacharias is told all these incredible things. And now Zacharias, his heart is exploding with praise and with joy. He is overflowing with faith. Look at the next verse, 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know this? Is that faith? No. He says, how do I know this? Look, he says, for I am a what? I'm an old man. And he says, and look at my wife. I love that one. Look at my wife. She's over the hill, man. And she is well advanced in years. And he says, how in the world am I going to know this? Now, I'm going to give you four translations from verse 18. Philip's translation, great translation. He says, how can I know this is true? The Berkeley translation. In what way can I be assured of this? The Message. Do you expect me to believe this? And then the Quinn translation. If you want to ruin Christmas, make Christmas about you. Do you understand? Listen, that's true. Make it about you. Zacharias made it about him. He heard 135 words from an angel sent from heaven by God and given to Zacharias about things that are yet future. And listen, he says, well, I don't know how this is going to happen. I mean, look at my body. Look at me. I mean, you know, my wife, I think she's older than I am. Now, here's the problem. Zacharias made it all about him so much that he questioned God's ability to fulfill his word. I'm going to tell you something. Now listen, I know you're not going to do this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. If you want to ruin Christmas 2021, make it about you and not about what God has said about you or done for you. Amen? More that will ruin it. And I'm going to say something to you. Now listen carefully. Listen, because this is almost a picture of the church today. Did Zacharias love God? Yes. Was he blameless? Yes. Did he keep the commandments? Yes. Did he work for the Lord? Did he serve the Lord? Of course he would have done anything for the Lord. So what was his problem? His problem is the same problem that so many in Christendom have today. And you know what that is? And we're guilty of it, all of us. We allow something so beautiful and so precious and so wonderful to become so familiar. We've lost the awe of the star leading the wise men. You know what? We've lost the awe of the babe in a manger. You know what I'm saying? We've lost the awe of the virgin birth. Do you understand me? Oh, listen, loved one, we've got to get our mind right. How in today, how do we celebrate the most important event in mankind, the birth of Christ, God becoming one of us? How do we celebrate that? I read a story just recently about a mom that was, everybody's out in the malls right now, and some of them are masked up, some of them are not masked up, and some of them that are wearing a mask are robbing everybody. But that's another story. And she's dragging her little 3-year-old boy all over the mall and so forth, trying to get all the Christmas presents because that's Christmas, you know, and, you know, shop till you drop, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And so she's going, all of a sudden she's buying this one and buying it, and turns around and her son is gone. And so she backtracks, man, all over the mall, trying, you know, to find him and so forth. And she finally finds him, and he's looking in a big plate glass window. And let me quote what the boy says. "Mommy, look, it's the baby Jesus lying in the hay." And you know what the mother did? She grabbed that little boy up by the arm and yanked him up and said, "There's no time for this. Mommy is trying to get ready for Christmas." Do you follow me? Oh, loved one, listen. Verse 19. "And the angel answered and said to him," to Zacharias, he said, "You know what? I am Gabriel. Hello, I'm the champion of God. I'm the warrior of God." He says, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you these good or glad tidings, this good news. But behold, you don't want to believe? Okay. You know what? Behold, you will be quiet. You will be mute. You'll not able to speak. And here comes God's grace until the day these things take place. And here's the reason: because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." In other words, Zacharias, whether you believe it or not, God's word never returns void. And what God says is going to happen. So what's going to happen? What happened to him? Well, here's the deal. You're going to be judged. 9 months, you're going to keep your mouth shut. Because you're not going to say a word to anyone, Zacharias. Did you know that faith is always rewarded? Yes. Hebrews 11:6. "For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. So faith is always rewarded, but unbelief is always judged. Romans 14:23. "For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Yes. So here he is silent. The people, you know the story, they waited for Zacharias to come out. They marveled that he lingered so long in the temple, and he came out, but he couldn't speak, and they perceived that he'd seen a vision in the temple. "For he beckoned to them, remained speechless, and so it was as the days of his service was completed. He departed to his own house," and a miracle is going to take place. "Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived." Hello, "and she hid herself 5 months, saying, 'Oh, the Lord has thus dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people.'" In other words, she was childless. Now she's no longer childless. She's no longer a reproach to the people. Amen? Now, so 5 months, she hid herself. Why? Everybody was trying to show up at her house. I mean, she was well advanced in years. I've never seen a 100-year-old woman pregnant. Have you? It's not a trick answer question. I mean, you know, no, come on. And so what happens? I mean, 6 months later, you know, we're going to have to go from Jerusalem to Nazareth, okay? Now, here's the deal. We don't want to ever ruin Christmas, but we want to rejoice at Christmas. And the only way to truly rejoice at Christmas is to make Christmas about Jesus. Amen? Now, look at verse 26. It says, "And now in the sixth month of the angel Gabriel, who was sent by God." Boy, he travels a lot, doesn't he? Man, "sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her." Now, having come in, how did he do that? Did he just appear? Did he knock on the door? Never mind. Okay. "And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one.'" And let's look at why. "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women," not above women, "among women. However, no woman on earth can receive any greater honor than Mary." Amen. What a great woman. "But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor or grace with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Savior.'" That's what the word Jesus means. The angel told Joseph, the same thing in Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You know why I celebrate Christmas? Man, I celebrate the one who died on the tree for me. I mean, do you know the birth of Jesus didn't save anyone? Only his death can save us from sin. Amen? Amen. Listen, what did John the Baptist, what did he cry out? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Why? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, man. Listen, you know, you want to ruin Christmas? You want to ruin it for your children? You want to ruin it for your family? Well, if you want to do that, make Christmas about you. But if you want to rejoice at Christmas, then you make Christmas about what Jesus has done for you. We lose so much by not remembering what we used to be. Listen to me. You, me, all of us, we were dead. Yes. Dead in trespasses. Yes. And in sins. Yes. The wrath of God abided on every one of us. Yes. Amen? Oh, listen, not only that, listen to this. We were something else. We were enemies of God. Yes. Think about that. Enemies of God. Oh, we lived in darkness and we didn't even know it. We were destined to hell and did not even believe it. And look at you now. Now you're children of God. Now you're co-heirs with Christ. Now your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now heaven is going to be your home. Amen. Now, I don't know how you feel about that, but if you can't on Christmas, at least with all the lights going, I don't care. You can say, "Jesus, I put up that tree, but I put it up because I'm celebrating you. I'm not celebrating anything this world has. I'm celebrating you. And I thank God because all I have, you have given unto me. Everything you have given unto me." Man, listen, I'll tell you, I look and I say, "Oh God, you're so good." He looks, that angel looks at Mary and says, "Oh Mary, listen," verse 32. He says, "What? He's going to be great. He will be great." Talking about Jesus, he'll be called the Son of the Highest. In other words, he's the Son of God. He is God in the flesh. He says, "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." See, what God says is going to happen always happens. He promised that in 2 Samuel, I believe it's chapter 7, remember? One day that'll be fulfilled. "And he will reign over the house of Jacob," that's Israel, "forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Anytime anyone says that God is through with Israel and that the church has replaced Israel, that's called replacement theology. You take them to that scripture. It says that he will reign over Jacob for how long? Forever. God made an everlasting covenant with Abraham concerning the children of Israel. And God made the covenant. Abraham didn't. And it can never be broken. Never be broken, loved one. God never lies. And then look what happened. And then Mary said to the angel, here it comes, "Well, how can this be since I am a virgin?" That's what this really translated should read. "I'm a virgin. I don't know a man." And you know what? Man's not going to have anything to do with this pregnancy. Amen? No, Mary's question. Now listen, there's not any unbelief there. Mary believed the promises that this angel was making. But so what was she saying? She was saying, "Okay, I just need you to clear this up. If I'm going to have a child and I'm only 15 years old, maybe 14, maybe 15, how in the world am I going to have a baby without a man?" Does that make sense? It just doesn't happen. Hello? And so she's asking how that's going to happen. And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit, he's going to come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you or cover you." It's like the cloud, the Shekinah glory, the cloud coming over and moving. Does that make sense? And he says, and who is born, therefore also that Holy One, speaking of his sinless nature, the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of Joseph. No, the Son of God. Or you guys are not reading your Bible. the Son of God. Listen, Mary gave birth to the Holy One, meaning this, Mary, listen, your son, whom you're going to call Jesus, meaning Savior, will know no sin. Can you imagine conceiving a child, delivering a child that will never sin in word, in deed, in action? Are you listening to me? Never sin, because he has not the sin nature of man. He is God in the flesh, and he is a sinless son of the living God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, meaning God, made him, meaning Jesus, who knew no sin, sin for you and me, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. 1 Peter 2:22 says, he committed no sin, no sin. 1 John 5, what is it, 3, and we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. God with us. Verse 36, and now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and now in the sixth month of her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible. God can do anything he wants, amen? And then Mary said, oh, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. The maidservant, the lowest form of servant, okay? Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. And watch what she does. Let it be to me according to thy word. And what happened next? The angel, he went back home. His job was done. I don't know how you feel about that, but that's what I call great faith. Do you understand? She just said, listen, let it be, just whatever, what all, every prophecy, everything that you said, every word that you just gave to me, let it happen. I believe it. I want it. I believe God's word that you just spoke to me. And that is the exact opposite of Zacharias. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. We're moving into 2022. 2022 and 23, 24, if God tarries. We have to be ready. We have to start preparing. We more than we ever had, loved one. And we must be like Mary. We must say, Lord, whatever your word says about me, let it be to me according to thy word. Amen. Whatever you say that's going to happen on this earth, let it be to me. Let me understand it. I believe it. I believe it. I hold it in my heart. Amen. Oh, listen. We've got to be just like that. And I believe the moment that Mary believed, that's when she was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit. She believed what God's word said about her. Do you believe what God's word says about you? I think we only believe the good parts. Remember what Paul said in Galatians 2:20? He writes and he says this, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who liveth, but Christ who lives. Does he live in you? Yes. Oh, we believe that. Philippians 1:6, he, meaning God, who began a good work, will finish it, will complete it to the very day of Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Oh, yeah, we hold on to that. Psalm 138:8, he will perfect those things, God will, concerning you. Oh, man, I embrace it. Lord, I need a lot of help. Yeah, we love Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. We said we're not going to be at the great white throne judgment being judged. Thank God. You know, the Bible says, thanks be unto God who always leads us in victory or in triumph in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I believe that. Yes, Lord. I'm being led in victory right now. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I believe that right this very minute. I believe that we are all citizens of heaven. Amen. Let that word be mine. But what about those other words? How about Luke 9:23? If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Amen. Let him disown himself. Yes, it's no longer about you. Yeah. It's only about him. How about that verse? Let him take up his cross daily and let him follow me. Wherever I lead him, it may be Africa, it may be India, it may be here, it may be there. Will you follow me?
Yes.
Do you see what I'm getting at? I like that verse, but, oh no, let it be to me according to thy word. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are the ambassadors of Christ. Let that be unto me according to thy word. Mark 1:17, Jesus said, he said, follow me, travel with me, come along with the adventure with me, and I will make you fishers of men. Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over in your bosom. For with the measure that you meet or measure out will be measured back to you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
No, do you really believe that? Yes. You see, let it be. You see, if you got to take the good, what you think, this is really good. Heaven is my home. Praise the Lord. But, okay, heaven is your home, but you got a job to do here.
Yes.
See, we're entering into a time like never before.
Yes.
And we have to say, let it be to me according to thy word. And if you really want to ruin Christmas this year, you ready for this one? Make it about what's under your tree instead of the one who was laid in a manger. Go over to Luke chapter 2, verse 6, or Luke 2, verse 6, yes, quickly. It says, and so it was while they were there, meaning in Bethlehem, the days were completed for Mary to be, for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, meaning God in the flesh, wrapped him in swaddling cloths. You know what a swaddling cloth is? It's just little pieces of cloth. It wasn't that brand new, you know, baby suit that you buy at, you know, Neiman's. No. And look what they did. They laid Jesus. They laid God in the flesh. They laid the Savior of the world in a manger. A feed trough, that's what it is, where animals eat. Why? Because there was no room for them in the inn. Christmas, there it is. From the throne room, from heaven to a feed trough. And look at them. You want to see the first Christmas? Look at little Mary, just a little teenager. Look at Joseph the carpenter. Look at them, they're alone. They had to leave, to go in to pay their taxes and register and all of that. They don't have any friends where they're at right now. They were poor. There was no room for them. You know what the world does? The world's Christmas steals that beautiful night from us. Because the world is a thief. Because the world has no room for Jesus. Listen, look at verse 8. Now they were in the country. There were these shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by the night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, now for the third time, he's going to say this, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings, oh, good news, and I bring you great joy, which will be to how many people? Say it again. How many people? All people, every color, every nation, every person.
Amen.
Only the world believed that. I look and I say, oh, Lord, what is that good news? What is that great joy that is for every person that has ever been born in every generation? Look at verse 11. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a what?
Savior.
His name is Jesus, who is Christ the Lord. You know why we celebrate Christmas? Because we have the one and the only true living Savior. And I tell you, if you ever allow your hearts to take that scripture for granted, it will take the joy, the true joy out of Christmas away from you. Listen to me. I tell you, I celebrate Christmas. And you know why? Because I have been saved from me. Do you understand? From me. Because I was going the wrong way. I mean, I was lost. But now I'm found. I was dead, but I'm alive. I was defeated and didn't know it. I was delivered and rescued by our Savior from sin, from death, and from eternal hell. Listen, the world that we live in, which is going to now progress into deeper darkness than we have ever known. You say, "Oh, Bill, don't say that." It is true. And you know what the world will do? See, the world has ruined the true meaning of Christmas. And you know what they've done? They've made Christmas a sad day, a selfish day, a lonely day, a joyless day, and a greedy day. The Christmas of the world does not promote good news or great joy. The Christmas of the world is geared to make you feel guilty if you don't go out there and spend every penny and give it to this and get this iPhone here, that there. Dude, that's not what Christmas is about. I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. I'm not saying that at all. But that, listen, if that's what I've got under this guilt, that's wrong. Christmas is not about you. It's about what Jesus has done for you. Amen. And I say, "Oh, that's what I want, Lord. That's what I want." Listen, the world has a Savior. And to make Christmas about any other thing than Jesus, our Lord, is to ruin Christmas. And you know what? I guess Christmas really is already ruined for 2021. Not to us, but for those who do not know the true meaning of Christmas. What is the true meaning of Christmas? You ready? It's love. Not our love. God's love. 1 John 4:9. And this is how the love of God was manifested or made public or made visible toward us. That God has sent his only begotten Son. And you know what he did? Who sent him, who stepped out of eternity into this world, that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. God made his love visible in a manger. His name is Jesus. God sent his only Son into a ruined world where people had been ruined because they were in Adam, disfigured by the sin of Adam, not knowing who they truly are. Oh, listen, he sent them into a ruined world that did not want him, that rejected him, that despised him, that hated him, and finally murdered him. Why did God send his only begotten Son into this world? You know the answer. John 3:16. For God so, there you go. He so loved the world that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. That's the only kind of life that God gives. Isn't that great? Everlasting life. Listen, God so loved. The object of God's love is every ruined person and every saved person, amen, on this planet. No one is excluded. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And here it comes, this universal invitation that whoever you are, if you'll believe in Jesus, he'll save you. You will never perish. You will never. In the Greek, it's double negative. No, never, no, never. You'll never perish. You'll never go to hell. Do you understand? Oh, my gosh. I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, is that true? Yes. And then you know what happened? All of a sudden, heaven opened up. It says the rest of the story. Suddenly, there was a chorus of angels. I mean, a host, an army of angels. And they were praising God. Glory to God in the highest. Amen? Amen. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Meaning men of goodwill. There's no peace on this planet. Oh, listen to me. It says, on earth, peace. Where can peace be found? On Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, you open presents. What if you had 10 million perishable gifts under your tree? An iPhone is perishable. You know, it's not going to hang around forever. It's not eternal. What if you had 10 million perishable dollars under your tree, in your bank account? So, would that give you peace? No, you can't get peace from things. Did you know that? You can't get peace from anything, because peace is a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. He is the Prince of Peace. Oh, loved one, listen. I lived a ruined life before I met Jesus. But I'm not ruined anymore. Amen. 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 You're not ruined anymore. Amen. When you walk into heaven, I promise you, you're not going to go up there and Jesus says, or the Lord says to you, what prerogative, what right do you have to enter glory? I kept the commandments. Oh, you did not. But I had, oh Lord, what ride do you have? He goes, well, I had an experience. Oh, doesn't work. You say, Bill, what right do you have to enter heaven? I'd say, when I was a young man on a beach, drunk in Florida, I received Christ as my Lord. Welcome. Welcome. Because that's the only name, the only person that you can be saved by under heaven. He is the only way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's why we're not going to have a ruined Christmas. We know the truth. So with all that being said, as our heads are bowed and every Christian praying, and this is a divine moment. You have to make a decision if Jesus is not your Lord, if you've never asked him to come and be in your heart. He loves you. He was born to die for you and take your place and take your punishment and die your death that you might live through him. But you have to receive him. Listen, you're not doing Jesus a favor by receiving him. You're doing yourself a favor. So if you don't know Christ, meaning if you have never said Jesus, you never reached out to him and said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about being saved. If you've never said, Jesus, be the Lord of my life, save me, then you can do that right now, because that's how you're saved. So if you're here and Jesus is not your Lord, you've never confessed him as your Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about walking an aisle. I'm talking about lifting your hand and not getting out of your chair and saying, Bill, I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life right now, right today. If that's you, please, in Jesus' name, just lift your hand like they did in the first service and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be my Lord. Anyone this morning, just lift it and put it right back down. You don't have to come down here, but you have to lift that hand. I'll not ask again if that's you. In Jesus' name, please. Then, Father, this morning I believe in Jesus' name that these are your saints. And I don't believe there's any ain'ts that are here, just the saints. But you online or on the radio, if you listened and Jesus is not your Lord, pray that prayer. Just say, Jesus, save me. Just save me. Oh God, I believe, save me in Jesus' name, and He will. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you came to a ruined world and a ruined people, but you're not ruined, oh God. That you changed us, that we became new creations in Christ, that we were born again, and our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for coming and being born on this planet to die for us and to take our place. We believe in you. And Lord, in 2022, let it be unto us according to thy word. We ask it, we believe it, in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. God is so good. Amen. If you're visiting with us for the very first time, you may feel